Good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sukkah, Daf Mem Tes. The weekly shiur for Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitzway CPA. Branch out in a new direction next tax season. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilei Nishmas, Vega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zev. This parak of Maseches Sukkah has had a variety of various mitzvahs. We've discussed the mitzvahs Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. We've discussed Shmini Atzeres and making a bracha in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, Shechianu Shmini Atzeres. And now, most recently, we've been talking about the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, the unique pouring of water on the Mizbeach during the holiday of Sukkot. Last week, we had the Mishnah, which discussed the whole process of Nisa Chamayim. We finished off kind of in the middle of an inyan, so we'll quickly finish off the inyan, and then we'll discuss other halachos, other aspects of the Mizbeach that relate to the Nisa Chamayim. Moving on Daf Mem Tes. So we ended off on the bottom of Mem Chesem and Beis, discussing the Maisa of a Tzeduki, who, since he hasn't hold of Halacha Moshe Mizinai, was not so fond of the mitzvah of Nisa Chamayim, so he poured the water on the ground instead of on the Mizbeach, and they pelted him with esrogim and stones, and that broke the Mizbeach. So the Gemara discusses how, once that broke the Karen HaMizbeach, it broke the corner, the Amma by Amma protrusion of the corner of the Mizbeach. So they filled it up with some salt because if the Mizbeach is broken, then you can't use it. The Gemara clarifies, even if you put salt on, you still can't use the Mizbeach for the Avoda, but at least it's more kavodik for the Mizbeach to not have a crack in the corner of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara discussed on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph the various aspects of the Mizbeach that are me'akev, the various parts of the Mizbeach that if you don't have them, you cannot do the Avoda with the Mizbeach. So the Gemara said in the very top, "Shakol mizbeach she'ein lo kevesh v'lo keren v'lo yesod v'lo ribua pasul la'avoda." That the mizbeach, if it does not have the ramp going up to the mizbeach, if it does not have the keren, which is the protrusion on at the corners of the mizbeach, if it doesn't have the yesod, which is the step on the very bottom of the mizbeach, which we discussed a few weeks ago, v'lo ribua, if it doesn't have the squareness of the mizbeach, but it's not perfectly square, it's going to be pasul la'avoda. That's why our Gemara had said that since the keren had been shipped, therefore it was pasul la'avoda. And if Yosi bar Yehuda omer af ha-soviv, and if Yosi bar Yehuda, this is where we ended up last week, that Yosi bar Yehuda adds that even the soviv also is ma'akev the mizbeach. We discussed that also a few weeks ago on Daf Mem Hei. The soviv was the ledge towards like the middle of the mizbeach that also stuck out in Amma, and the Kohen would even go on that ledge for some aspects of the avoda. He would go on that ledge and to circle the Mizbeach to do various parts of the Avoda. So Rabbi Yosef Yehuda adds that even the Sovev is also Ma'akev the Mizbeach. And Rashi explains that the reason why these things are Ma'akev is because the Pasuk says by each of them, HaMizbeach. Pasuk says, El Panei HaMizbeach. It says, El Yesod HaMizbeach. Ravu HaYeyeh HaMizbeach. The Pasuk implies that that aspect of the Mizbeach is essential to be called a Mizbeach. And therefore it is Ma'akev. If you don't have it, it's going to be Pasul Li'avoda. There are some aspects of this which actually do come up, which impact halacha l'maisa. So the Bir Halacha points out that perhaps the halachos of the ribua of our tefillin, as well as the ribua of our the beged of a talis, the tzitzis has to be dalad kanfos, has to be a perfect ribua. So some of the aspects of what's considered ribua, how much is too much of not ribua being chipped away. So some of those halachos do come up from the halachos of ribua by mizbeach as well. But perfectly square, but the and to that that's the shiloh of how much leeway do you have? Perhaps it's patterned after, the very top of Tosafot here describes the whether it's a tefach or a kezayis, different opinions about how much you can be off. But yeah, but it is since it shouldn't be a gulin, it shouldn't be round by your talus. So the corners.
Oh, meaning that they should be not right angles. I thought you were saying that the top itself has to be square.
Oh, right, right. The corner being a right angle. Yeah, okay. Thanks for clarifying. So that's all the inyanim from last week. And now we're continuing on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, three lines down. Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shisin Mishishas Shemei Breishis Nivru. The Gemara is now going to discuss the Shisin. The Shisin are the part under the Mizbeach. It's like a hollowed out canal under the Mizbeach, which is where all of the libations would end up, right? We're pouring all this stuff on the Mizbeach. We pour wine on the Mizbeach throughout the year. We pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot itself. Where else that liquid going? It has to go somewhere. So there were shisin, these narrow things under the Mizbeach where all the liquid will collect. And we're going to see there are various opinions about the nature of these shisin. We're going to see that some, we're going to describe that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created those shisin from Ma'ase Bereishis, and some therefore assume that the shisin went all the way down Al Panei HaTehom. They went down to the depths of the earth. They went, it was a never-ending pit to collect all the liquid, and it just kind of stayed there forever. It kept on going down to the depths of the earth. The other opinion is that no, that it actually did have an ending, and therefore they had to, certain times of the year, they had to go up, and or once every 70 years, they'd have to go and just collect all the dried out, congealed wine and water and to put it on the Mizbeach to burn it again. So the various opinions about the nature of these shisin, but everyone agrees that these parts under the Mizbeach were all the water and wine collected from the Nisach HaMayim and Nisach HaYayim. So the Gemara says that these, the first opinion of Yochanan says, that the shisim were made misheshes and mebreshes. They were created during the 6 days of creation. Shene Amar, as the Pasuk says, Chamuke yirechayich kemo chalaim ma'ase yedei aman. Chamuke yirechayich, chamuke rashis is a lashon of seser, yirechayich is like a thigh. So the hidden part of your thighs, kemo chalaim, were like jewels, ma'ase yedei aman, were the work of a craftsman. So what is that referring to? So chamuke yirechayich, the lashon of yerech is also used by the mizbeach, but yerech ha-mizbeach, and chamuke hidden is a reference to the hidden shisim, which were under the mizbeach. So elu ha-shisim. Kemo chalaim, chalaim means gems, but it could also mean hallowed. Shemichulalim veyordim ad hatehom, that they were these hallowed out, went all the way down to the depths of the earth. Maaseh de aman, the work of a craftsman. Zum maaseh yedei umnaso shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were made by the ultimate craftsman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself made these shisin under the mizbeach. Tanad be Rav Yishmael, Bereishis, Al Tikrei Bereishis, Ela Bereishis. Rav Yishmael says that there's also an implication to this in the very first word of the Torah. These were created in the beginning of creation, and even the very first word of Bereishis, not only does it mean in the beginning was the world created, but also Bereishis, Hashem created the Shisin right away at the beginning of creation. I saw the Maharal says that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that the world stands on three things, Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. And the Maharal points out that all three of those things were created and prepared at the beginning of creation, at the very beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and are all referred to in that very first word, Bereishis. So we have various Mamre Chazal we're familiar with, where the Torah says, where the Chazal say, that the Torah is bishvil Torah shenikra reishis, that the world created bishvil haTorah, and we also have that the Chazal said that it was bishvil the bikurim shenikra reishis, which the Maharal says is a reference to the chesed we give our matanos to the kohanim. So Torah and chesed, and where is avoda in the word reishis? Right here, bereishis, the shisim which were used for the avoda for the nisach hamayim, nisach hayayin, to collect all the nisachim, is a reference to avoda. So all three pillars are referenced in that very first word of bereishis, both all Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. And the avoda is bara shis. That's the Maharal. So we have so far that the assumption is that these shisim went down to the bottom of the earth, and they were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Another brisa about the shisin, Tani Rav Yosi Omer, shisin mechulalim veyordim ad hatahom, that the shisin went down to the depths of the earth. So Ne'amar, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Ashira nala yididi, I will sing a song to my beloved, Shiras Dodi, a song about the beloved Likarmo, about his vineyard, which is all a mashal, which we're, I guess we'll explain as we go along, that the Dodi is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the vineyard is referring to Klal Yisrael, a song about Bnei Yisrael, who are Hashem's vineyard. Kerem haya leyedidi, that there was a keren, there was a vineyard of Klal Yisrael, bekeren ben shaman, in a fruitful corner of the world, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So you have Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, ba'yaskeyu, and he fenced around that vineyard, which is a reference to protecting Klal Yisrael, ba'yasalkeyu, and he removed the stones from the vineyard, that's a reference to Hashem removing the umos ha'olam and the enemies from Bnei Yisrael, ba'yata'ehu sorek, and he planted nice things in that vineyard, which we're going to explain, by even Migdal, and there was a tower Bisocho in the vineyard, the Gam Yekev Chatzebo, there was also a hollowed out wine pit Chatzebo hewn into that inside of that tower. So what's the end of that pasuk referring to? So it's referring to Klal Yisrael and Hashem protecting Klal Yisrael. What about the tower and the things that were planted in there and the wine pit? Vayetaeyu sorek ze beis hamikdash. So the choice plants that were in there is a reference to the beis hamikdash, which was implanted in Eretz Yisrael. By even migdal besocha, there was a tower inside the beis hamikdash. Ze mizbeach. That's a reference to the mizbeach. V'gam yekev chatzebo elu ashi. shisin, and the wine pit that was hewn into that tower is a reference to the shisin. So we see that that the shisin were there. Another pasuk which refers to the creation of the shisin by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Tanya, Amar Belazar Bar Tzadok. Now we're going to see another opinion which assumes that the shisin did not go all the way down to Tehom. It wasn't this bottomless pit of where you could just pour all the wine you want and you have to clean it out. No, it did have a bottom, and you would have to go and clean it out every now and then. That's Shita of Belazar Bar Tzadok. Amar Belazar Bar Tzadok, Lul Katan Haya Bein Kevesh Lemizbeach. So there was a space between the kevesh and the mizbeach. So we know, we picture that the mizbeach has a ramp going up to the mizbeach, but Chazal described that the ramp did not go directly up to the mizbeach. There was a bit of a space between where the ramp ended and where the mizbeach began. And in that space, towards the western side of the mizbeach, there was even a place where they could go down, take a ladder to go down to the bottom, to in between that space, and that's where they would go. That was the lul katan, that there was a space within the space between the ramp and the Beis HaMikdash. There was a particular section which they could go down. The achas l'shivim shana pirche kahuna yordim l'sham, and every 70 years the young kohanim who were strong enough and willing to venture down to the bottom of the mizbeach, so they would go down there umalakdin isham yayin karush, and they would collect from there the congealed wine from all the nisachim shadoma le'igule dvela. It was congealed. It was like these cakes of dates, of figs, uban v'sorfen osam b'kedusha, and they would then collect all that wine. And they would burn it, b'kedusha, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, they would burn it, not just take it home. And it's not like, oh, this is so old, it has no kedusha anymore. It's been here for 70 years. Someone put this wine here 70 years ago. It has no more kedusha. No, it does have kedusha. And you would actually burn it in the Azara itself, like any other vote that would be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Shneamar, Bakodesh Haseich, Nesech Sheichar LaHashem. The pasuk describes that the Nesachim are Kodesh. And we darsh in Amem Tesem at Beis, Kishem Shenisucho Bikdusha, Kach Sreifaso Bikdusha. That just like the Nesachim itself is done in the Beis HaMikdash, so to the burning of it, many years later, is also going to be done Bikdusha. You still treat it Bikdusha, and so is the status of the Avoda to a certain extent, and therefore even the old wine is also burnt in the Azara. So Mara wants to clarify, my mashma, what exactly was the drasha? Fine, the pasuk says, Bakodesh Haseich Nesech Sheichar LaHashem. Who says that's referring to anything about burning it in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara darshins, Amaravina Asya Kodesh Kodesh. Segzira Shavav Kodesh Kodesh. Ksiv Hacha Bakodesh Haseich Nesech. By the Nesachim it says the lashon of Kodesh. Uksiv Hasam. And it says by Nosar, Visarafta es ha-Nosar ba'esh, lo yochal ki kodeshu. That the Nosar, the things that were left over after the Karban, are also going to be burnt, and they are called Kodesh. So we see the Lashon of Strefa by Nosar, and it says Lashon of Kodesh. So too the Nisachim as well are going to be burnt be-Kiddusha. So that's the Shita of Ozer Bar Tzadok, that just to have two different camps over here. One camp thinks that the shisin go all the way down to the bottom, al pnei tahom, and the other shita, Elazar bar Tzadok, holds that no, there was a bottom, and they would have to even go and clean it out every 70 years. So Gemara now clarifies, based on those two different options, so keman azla hadatanya. Who is the author of the following braisa? Well, which shita does this braisa align with more? The braisa says, nisachim betchila moalin bahen. Nesachim, before you do the avoda, you set aside wine for the nesachim, and that, at that point it has a status of kedusha, and therefore ma'alin bahen, there is an iser me'ila. Me'ila is an iser to get hana'a from kachim. So when you set aside the wine before you do the avoda, at that point it has kedusha, and therefore there'll be an iser me'ila. You definitely cannot get hana'a from the nesachim before you pour it onto the mizbeach, once you've already designated it. What about Yardu L'Shisin? Well, after I already poured the wine onto the Mizbeach, and then it went down through the hole to the Shisin, to the pipeline, to the Shisin, onto the Mizbeach, at that point, the mitzvah is already done. What about at that point? Can I then get Hana'a from the wine that was used for Nesachim? Or is that at that point, is there no Kiddusha to it anymore? So the Braisa says, Ein Molin Bahen, there is no Isser Me'ila after it was Yardu L'Shisin. After the wine's already been poured and went down onto the Mizbeach, at that point, don't worry, if you would collect that wine, there will be no iser to get hana from it. Ain mo'alin bahen, it does not have kedusha anymore. So who is this shita going like? Lema Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadoki. The Gemara assumes it must be Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Again, he's the one who held that the Shisin did have an end. It wasn't an infinite bottomless pit. It did have a bottom, and therefore, right, it makes sense that we have to tell somebody. By the way, if you would go down there and collect the wine, realize there's no Isser Me'ila. But if you're the Rabbanon, the E Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, it goes all the way down and it keeps going down. Hanachtu lehulat to home. You have to tell me that I can't get Hana from it. I can't even use it. I can't even access it. You don't have to tell me any halachos about Me'ila or no Me'ila. It's impossible to access it. So it sounds like this brisa, which says that after you pour it and it goes down to the shisin, don't worry, there's no Isser Hana. Sounds like this is within the shita of Rabbi Bar Tzadok, because according to the Rabbanan, if it goes all the way to home, I can't even access it. Who cares what the halacha is? The Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rabbanan bide iklet. You could even say this is within the shita of the Rabbanan, and it's referring to when you caught it. So find the shisin themselves go all the way down, but let's say I put a cleat to capture all the wine that falls down to the shisin. So and then you want to know, I collected all this stuff before it went down the bottomless pit, so can I get hana from it? So we tell you that yes, you could. And well, then behind, there will be no Isser Me'ila associated with getting hana, getting benefit from wine that you caught before it went down to the shisin, to the tahum. The Igud Amri, or another version of how to understand that braisa, lema rabbanan hi, maybe it is a shita of the rabbanan, and it makes sense that this is a shita of the rabbanan, and not of Elazar bar Tzadok. But lo Elazar bar Tzadok, di'irav Elazar, akasi bikdusha sayhu kaimi. What was the bottom line halacha? That after it goes down to the shisin, you're allowed to get hana from it, it's not going to have an iser me'ila. But wait a second, remember Elazar bar Tzadok? He told us you have to go down there, and you have to collect it, you have to bring up all the old wine, and burn it on the mizbeach, bikdusha. In the Beis HaMikdash. It sounds like it does have Kedusha. So fine, according to him, it's accessible, so I get why you have to tell me this halacha, but why would the halacha be Ein Molin Bahen? His shita was, it does have Kedusha. Even the old wine that fell down to the Shisin, it still has Kedusha to it, and you have to therefore burn it in the Beis HaMikdash. So why would the halacha be Ein Molin Bahen? That there's no Isser Me'ila, it sounds like it doesn't have any Kedusha anymore, but didn't he hold that there was Kedusha? So it sounds like a Dafka doesn't fit within the shita of Elazar bar Tzadok. So Gemara answers, afilu tema Rabbi Elazar, it could even be within the sheets of Rabbi Elazar, because ein lecha davar shenaase mitzvaso umoalin bo. There's never an Isser Me'ila after the mitzvah has been completed. So over here, once you pour the wine on the mizbeach, everyone's going to agree that there's no Isser Me'ila because the mitzvah has been completed. And so you have to say that there's some sort of like a spectrum over here. Then on the one hand, it's not going to have its full kedusha, so there's no Isser Me'ila. Once you've already poured on the mizbeach, it's not fully kedusha, so there's no Isser Me'ila, but still, according to Rabbi Elazar, it has some kedusha, and that you have to actually go down there and collect it and burn it in the Beis HaMikdash, because it does have some kedusha associated with it, but not a Isser Me'ila level of kedusha. You're saying Tashmishe Mitzvah? Right.
We usually keep it until the Chabir Chavetz.
Right. I'm trying to think about, yeah, Tashmishe Mitzvah, we say they don't have Kedusha after you're done with the Mitzvah, but I'm trying to think about how that connects to this Inyan. You're saying the Nesachim after you finish with the Nesachim. Right. Right, yeah. Similar Inyan, but how things don't have Kedusha anymore. Once the mitzvah is fulfilled. Exactly. Yeah. It's not, as I was saying, so after the mitzvah is completed, it's not me'ilah by lulav, but it's a similar inyan. Once the mitzvah is completed, then the kedusha associated with it is gone. Yep. I am asking. Okay, so now, one more inyan about shisin, and this part, we will have a halachal maisha application, so don't worry. Amar Yish Lakish, Bizman Sheminaschin Yayin Agabe HaMizbeach, well, at the time when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach, Pokikin Es HaShisin, they would actually plug up the Shisin. So the hole that led the wine down to the bottom of the Mizbeach, to the Shisin, they would actually plug it up, so all the wine that they poured in the Mizbeach would stay on top of the Mizbeach for a period of time, and it would look like it's bubbling up with wine, like it's full of wine. Why would they do that? L'kayim ma'ashen emar, to fulfill the pasuk b'kodesh ha'seich nesach sheichar la'ashem. That the nesachim have to be drunk. It has to be like shikr, so to speak. My mashma, so what's the implication of this pasuk? Amar ha'papa, sheichar lashon shesia, it's a lashon of drinking, but it's also lashon sevia, being full, and lashon shikris, a lashon of being drunk. And so therefore the assumption is that when you plug up the mizbeach and it's like there's like wine floating on top of the mizbeach, that has that fits the bill of being a shikr, and that's what we're trying to fulfill the pasuk of Bakosh Hashem Nesach Sheikhar La Hashem. So therefore they would plug it up. Amara Papa, Shema Amino, we see from here, Kisava Inish Chamra, when somebody gets filled up from wine, Migrone Sava, they get filled up from their throat. It isn't like a, like, oh, my stomach is so full from all the wine that I drink, but it's from the fact that you drink your wine in big gulps, Rashi says. I don't know if we can think back to our Purim and see if this fits with how we would describe the feeling of drinking wine. But the Gemara says that when you drink big gulps of wine, that's what really fills you up with wine, as opposed to if I drink small sips and I accumulate and I really did drink a lot, that's not going to fill you up. It's not like food where like you ate a lot and in small pieces and you're still going to be full. But if it's about, by drinks, it's about the big gulp, Rashi says. And the Gemara gives more examples. Amar Rava, Tzurba Mirabanan, a young Tamechacham, Telo Nafisha Lechamra, who doesn't have enough wine. So Ligme Gemue, he should have big gulps. And by having big gulps of wine, that's a way to fill you up with the wine that you have. And Rava, Akasa de Birkasa Agma Gemue. And Rava, when he would have a Kosel Bracha, he would actually do this. He would take big gulps from his Kosel Bracha in order to show the Chibuv Mitzvah, to show that he's doing it in a way that gives him the most Sviya, the most satiation from his wine, based on this line of reasoning that wine, drinking of wine, is about the big gulps that you have, and it's about the hana that your throat gets from drinking wine. Therefore, he would dafka do it in the way that gives him the most hana'a in order to bring to show how excited and happy he was for the Mitzvah. So this is a very interesting application of this assumption, that when it comes to wine, that the ikar hana'a that perhaps that halacha acknowledges by wine is the hana'as grono, the hana that you get from your throat when you consume the wine. there's a machlokas in the Gemara about what does halacha care about. Does halacha care about hana'as grono or hana'as meyav? Is the ikar the hana that you get from your throat when you are eating, when you are swallowing something? Or is it about the fact that you have the food sitting in your stomach, and that it filled you up, and that has implications for if you eat something that's a davar asur, if you eat a davar mitzvah, or for benching, and brachos in general? Does halacha care about the hana that I get as I'm consuming something, big grono in my throat, in my mouth? Or does halacha care about the hana that you have in your stomach? The Gemara and Chulin has machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Let's say I have a piece of chazer, I have a kezias of chazer in front of me, and I break it into two different pieces. So I have a half kezias over here and half kezias over here, and I eat one, and then I throw it up, because it was disgusting. Ugh, pig wants to eat pig. And then I eat the second half of kezias. So ultimately, my mouth consumed two half kezasim, but my stomach never had a full kezias inside of it. So am I violating the iser of eating a davar, a kezias of iser? So Rav Yochanan says that yes, because it grows by hana'as grono, it goes by your throat. And Reish Lakish says no, because it goes by your stomach, it's hana'as meyav, and your stomach didn't have a full kezias in it. So the Gemara's Machlokes is about isurim, and it extends in the postgame to what about a davar mitzvah? What about Pesach's coming up? Shloshim yom kodem machag. Let's take a Pesach topic to talk about throwing up your matzah. Let's say you have a big kezias. The matzah is a big kezias. Let's say you ate a half kezias of matzah. You have the whole thing in front of you, and it's a lot. And so you eat half a kezias of matzah, and then you vomit, and then you eat the other half a kezias of matzah. So is that yotze the mitzvah of matzah? Does matzah, by mitzvah, does it go by the hana'as grono? My mouth ultimately consumed a kezias of matzah. Or does it go by hana'as meyav? My stomach never had a kezias of matzah in it. Or even if I had a full kezias of matzah at once, and then I threw it up, so my mouth consumed the matzah, but my stomach didn't really have a hold on that kezias of matzah for a long enough period of time. So to what extent, by a divrei mitzvah, by a mitzvah sachila, does it go by hana'as grono, or does it go by hana'as meyav? So the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva where he says that he thinks just like by the Gemara in Chulin, by Isurim, he passed like Rabbi Yochanan, that it goes by hana'as grono, it goes by the hana'a from your throat, and that was by the eating a half a kezias of chazir and half a kezias of chazir and throwing up in the middle. So too, the same is true also by Devar Mitzvah, that it goes by your throat, and so therefore he paskin that if you have a half kezias of matzah and you threw it up, and you have the second half of kezias of matzah, you would be yotze because it goes by your throat, and your throat ultimately consumed it. He has more disgusting examples, like let's say all I have is a half kezias of matzah. So what am I going to do? I only have half kezias. I can't do the mitzvah. No, you'll eat the half kezias, and then you'll throw it up, and you'll eat it again, and then it gets worse. And then he says, but it only works with your own half kezias of matzah. Don't go to your friend's half kezias, which he threw up, and eat that for your mitzvah. It has to be for that your stomach had, which is like, oh my gosh. I'm like, how dire circumstances do we have? Just buy another. I get it, it's expensive. There's a shortage, but you have to figure it out. But the Ksav has a tshuva talking about matzah. He says maybe Shabbos is different. To have your Suda Shabbos and then throw it up by Shabbos, where it's about Simcha or Oneg and Yontif, perhaps there it has to be that your stomach actually was filled up by the food. So by Suda Shabbos, it'll be different. But by mitzvos, but it's a mitzvah sachila, so we pattern after the Rav Yochanan that it goes by Hana'as Grono by Yisurim. So to by mitzvos, it goes by Hana'as Grono. And the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Mikrae Kodesh extends that by mitzvos achila, perhaps even according to Reish Lakish, right? Even according to Reish Lakish, says that in general by Yisurim and perhaps also mitzvos, it goes by Hana'as Me'av, it goes by your stomach. Perhaps even those who hold that it generally goes by your stomach, perhaps by a drink, it goes by your throat, the Kuleyama. Everyone would agree by drinks. Let's say I had my Dalet Kosos and I drank some and then I threw up some. And then does that all count? I mean, I'm sorry for all those different drinkings for my mitzvahs, Shisiyah. Perhaps everyone agrees by drinking, it goes by your throat. Why? Kasuka Memtes. Our Gemara assumes that by drinking and by wine, it goes by your throat. The big gulps that your throat has is the real Hana'a. And that's how Rava would drink his Kos, by having big gulps of his Kos Shabracha. So if I ask by drinks, even an even bigger Heter, that everyone would agree that by drinks, it goes by Hana'as Grono. And when go by Hana'as Me'av. So that's fascinating. There's another halacha which comes up, L'maisa, or some of L'maisa, it's on the page of Shulchan Aruch, about what it says about Rava, that Rava would have big gulps of his Kol Shel Bracha. The Ramah says that if you're picking out your kos to use for Kiddush, or it's really in the Kol Shel Bracha, Berchas Hamazon, the Gemara gives various different halachos of how that kos should look. It shouldn't be broken. We had that in Brachos. So the Gemara, the Rama also says you shouldn't take a cup which has it's like a wide bottom but a thin top. It shouldn't be that you can't see inside your kos. The Rama says because you have to be able to see your wine, and the Chazal described that looking at your wine as you're doing the mitzvah is an essential part of any kos shel bracha. So therefore, it shouldn't have a thin top. And the Darkei Moshe quotes also a shita based on our Gemara that you shouldn't have a thin top because you want to take big gulps, like Rava took a big gulp out of his kos. So therefore, perhaps that's another reason why you shouldn't have a thin, narrow top on the top of your kos, because you want to have a nice full gulp, like Rava did, like our Gemara assumes, that a big gulp shows the better chib of mitzvah. It's two different reasons, whether it's because you want to see the wine, or because you should be able to get the big gulps out of it. So that's the various implications of our Gemara about throwing up matzah and dalet kosos, and about the having a narrow top on the top of your kos. It's also important to note that the Maharsha is a totally different understanding of our Gemara, and the Maharsha assumes that igma gemue doesn't mean big gulps, it actually means small sips. Mamish, the opposite of what we just said. So everything we just said may not even fit with the Maharsha. That's the Maharsha. Maharsha wants to know, like, when we say you're going to plug up the Mizbeach because you want it to be like it drinks big gulps, wouldn't big gulps just be to unplug it and let it all go in at the same exact time? How is plugging it up in line with the assumption of having big gulps? So the Maharsha says it's the opposite. You want the wine to go in slowly, and he thinks that the Lashon of Gemue in other places also implies small sips. But anyway, that's the machlokas about Igma Gemue between Rashi and the Maharsha. Okay, the Gemara continues. Darash Rava. So now we're going to have a lot of agavta about various inyanim, including tzedakah and chesed. The Gemara now begins with Darash Rava, Ma'i Dichsiv, Ma'i Yafu Pa'amayich Bane'olim Bas Nediv. This is actually the beginning of the pasuk which we started off with today. We had the pasuk of Chamuke Yerechayich, which is a reference to the Shisin and the Nisach Amayim. So the first half of that pasuk is this, Ma'i Yafu Pa'amayich Bane'olim Bas Nediv. How beautiful are your feet in their shoes, Bas Nediv, the daughter of the noble one. So what's Pasuk referring to? So, Ma yafu pa'amoseihen shel Yisrael. How beautiful are the feet of Klal Yisrael. Bisha'a she'olin leregel. When they do aliyah leregel, they go up to the Beis HaMikdash during the Shalosh Regalim. Bas Nediv is a reference to Bito shel Avram Avinu, referring to us as the daughter of Avram Avinu. Shenikra Nediv. Avram is referred to as a Nediv. Shene'emar, Nedivei Amim Ne'esafu Am Elokei Avraham. The pasuk refers to the Nedivei Amim, those who were the dedicated people to Hashem, which Rashi says refers to the Gerim, the converts, and they referred and they gathered. They were the nation of the God of Avraham. Okay, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Gerim only worshiping the God of Avraham and not Yitzchak and Yaakov. Ella, Elokei Avraham, Shahaya Techila leGerim. Rather, there it's versa. Elokei Avraham, because Avraham was the first of the Gerim. He was the first one to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this pasuk, which refers to Gerim, references Dafka Elokei Avraham. But important for us, that pasuk uses lashon of Nediv. Divei Amim by Avraham. So therefore, by our pasuk of Aliyah LeRegel, where it says how amazing we are in it of Aliyah LeRegel, it also dafkam emphasized Nediv Avraham Avinu. What exactly is the connection between Avraham and Aliyah LeRegel? The Chazal Darshan, oh, how amazing are you when you do Aliyah LeRegel, that you follow Avraham Avinu? In what way is Avraham Avinu parallel at all to the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel? So the Maharsha says that Avraham was the first one to go to Har HaBayis when he did the Akidat Yitzchak. So that was kind of like setting up the whole mitzvah initially. So he was the first one to do it, so to speak. Meshech Chachma says that the mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel is really takes a lot of bitachon, because the mitzvah Aliyah LeRegel is there's a set time every single year where you're going to leave your fields and your houses unwatched, and people can just go and take all your stuff. And everyone knows the calendar. They know the Jewish calendar. They can go and go into your fields, because you're not going to be there on the holiday, because you have to go travel to Yerushalayim. Right, exactly. Yeah, I was checking. Meshech Chachma is not on Kisisa, though. I was hoping I was hoping for a Kisisa connection over there. So it takes a level of bitachon. It's like a nisayon. He compares it to the nisayonos of Avram Avinu. Avram, who had to leave his land. He had to leave his own land, and he had to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it was very difficult. He had his nisayonos. That's like Avram had his nisayonos. This also, mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, is also a nisayon, so to speak. And we have to follow in Avraham's bitachon and Kadosh Baruch Hu when we do this mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. Aruch Lener says it actually fits nicely, because there's a medrash which says that when Avraham refused to accept any gifts from the Melech, he said, I'm not going to take even a shoelace. And Chazal Darshan, that the shoelace is a reference to, that Avraham was zochet to this mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. The pasuk says by Aliyah LeRegel, Bana Olmer refers to the shoes of Aliyah LeRegel. So Avraham himself was zochet to the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. So it's a perfect connection between Avraham and Aliyah LeRegel. And also, it was Avraham's nedivus, to his generosity, to not accept the shoelace. So it's very fitting that Avraham's bas nediv, being referred to as a nediv, someone who's very generous, is particularly fitting for this inyan, because it was his generosity of not accepting anything, even a shoelace, that made him be zoche to this mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. So that's Aliyah LeRegel, Mayapu Pa'amayach. The Gemara now continues, Tana Debei Rav Anon, Mai Dechsev Chamuke Yerechayich. What's implied by the Lashon of Chamuke Yerechayich? So the pasuk we said is refers to the Nisar Chamayim, but now we darshan it differently. Laman Nimshalu Divrei Torah Ki Yerech. Why are Divrei Torah, we use in this pasuk, is referring to Divrei Torah, and why are Divrei Torah compared to a thigh? Lo Malacha Ma Yerech B'Seiser Af Divrei Torah B'Seiser. Just like the thigh is a hidden part of the body, so two Divrei Torah are also B'Seiser. Marsha says you shouldn't have too much Yura, you shouldn't be flaunting how amazing you are in your Divrei Torah. It should be in a somewhat hidden way compared to the Yirei Chayich. The Haim of the Amar Velazar, and this, that Torah should be learned b'seser to a certain extent, is based on the Velazar, that he says, Mai dechsev, he gave lecha adam matov, that what did Hashem told you what is good? Uma Hashem doresh mimcha ki im asos mishpat va'avas chesed v'asnei aleches im alokecha, that Hashem asked of you just to do mishpat and to do kindness and to live in a modest way with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So asos mishpat zehadin, to do mishpat is a reference to zehadin, to do things appropriately. Pa'avas chesed zugim milas chasadim, and having avas chesed is a reference to doing kindness for other people. Vahatznei aleches im alokecha, and to walk modestly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zu hotzas hameis vachnasas kala lechupa. This is a reference to doing the following mitzvos in a modest way, hotzas hameis, doing a levaya, and chasas kala lechupa, bringing a kala to her wedding, should also be done bitznias. Where do those examples come from? So Rashi tells us that the pasuk here says v'hatzneya leches, as a lashon of being modest when you do leches, and the pasuk in Koheles says tov la leches el beis avel mi leches el beis mishne. The lashon of leches is used in the context of a chasana and a levaya. To our pasuk as well, when it says asneil leches, it means to be modest in these leches mitzvos, namely beis avel and beis mishdeh. So you should be modest. Rashi says you should be modest. You should have an appropriate levaya. You shouldn't have too much simcha. They shouldn't add a chasna. It shouldn't be too. Neither of these weddings should. The wedding or the levaya shouldn't be too over the top. Or perhaps Rashi says v'yesh omrim. It's about giving tzedakah for these things. If you give tzedakah to help a levaya or to help a poor kala, it should be done in a tzanua way, and not in a public fashion. And so as this relates to us about Divrei Torah, so he continues, V'alo dvarim kava chomer, u'ma dvarim shedarkin la'asosan b'far hesya, amre Torah hatznei aleches, if by generally public things, like weddings that everybody knows about, and those are typically public, but still you should do it b'tzanua, but in a modest way, so dvarim shedarkin la'asosan b'tzina, things that are typically done in a private way, like tzedakah and other private mitzvos, alachas kama v'kama, should also be done in a more private way. So other things that all mitzvot should be done in a private way. Mitzvot that are typically public, mitzvot that are typically private, they should all have an aspect of tzanua associated with them. And so too, Divrei Torah as well. Divrei Torah should be done b'seser. That's like Rav Elazar says, that all mitzvot should have some aspect of tznius, some aspect of being done in a hidden way, in a modest way. Amar v'Elazar, gadol ha'ose tzedakah, yoser mikol ha'karbanos. Doing tzedakah, giving tzedakah, is greater than all the karbanos. Shene'amar, asei tzedakah o mishpat, nivchar la'Hashem mizbeach. That doing tzedakah and mishpat is even better to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the mizbeach, than all the karbanos. Amar v'Elazar, more drashos about tzedakah and chesed. Elazar says, Gedola gamilas chasadim yoser min hatzedakah. Chesed is even greater than tzedakah. How do I know? So the pasuk says, Shene'amar, ziru lachem litzedakah v'kitzru lefi chesed. That you should plant tzedakah and you should harvest, you should reap chesed. The lashon of reaping is used by chesed, and Gemara is going to explain the lashon of reaping is more chashuv than the lashon of planting. Why? Because im adam zorea safek ochel safek eno ochel. If somebody plants something, so he may get to eat it if it works and actually grows appropriately, but he also may not get to eat what he planted. But adam kotzer vaday ochel. When somebody reaps and somebody harvests, they're definitely going to eat. They literally just picked it off the ground, off the tree. Then they're vaday ochel. So therefore, the lashon of harvesting is better than the lashon of planting. So the pasuk which refers to harvesting chesed and planting tzedakah, so we see that chesed is more chashuv because harvesting and reaping is more chashuv. But my... yeah, sure.
The whole structure of the Gemara here is fascinating to me. And that sometimes if you have an Amora or a Tana and then makes a certain statement, then it will bring you now a string of that person's statements, right? They may have nothing
yep.
to do with the sugya.
Yeah.
This one here, as just trying to look at it from a structure, so I mean, you have, you know, when it comes to the big girl, which I'm sure is still sponsored, but then you have Rava, and then and Dorash Rava, and then it goes to the Ma'ifu Pamaya. But it's not like a string of Rava. Then you go Rava Anan, and so on.
So right, so the flow of the Gemara is we brought in Chamuke Yerechayech because the Shisen, which was Shayach to Arinanim. Then we brought in Chamukah Yerichayich again. First we brought Rava, which is Mayapu Pa'amayich. That's right. The first half of that pasuk. So that's also relevant to Chamukah Yerichayich. It's the first half of that pasuk is Mayapu Pa'amayich. Then we brought another drasha of Chamukah Yerichayich referring to Torah. Torah being done b'seser. Rav Elazar says that all mitzvot should be done b'seser. And so now we're in a string of Rav Elazar things. But yeah, it's not a simple flow at all. But yeah, now we're locked into Rabbi Elazar recording all the different things about now it's about tzedakah and chesed, but it's continuing the string of drashos of Rabbi Elazar. So now the Gemara says that ein Amar Rabbi Elazar ein tzedakah mishtalemes ela lefi chesed sheba. When you get schar for tzedakah, the schar you get is only lefi the chesed sheba, which we'll explain in a second. Shnei Amar ziru lachem letzedakah v'kitzro lefi chesed. When you plant and you give tzedakah, you're gonna reap the benefits. You're gonna reap the schar based on the chesed that was involved in that giving of tzedakah. So what does that mean? So Rashi says that when you give tzedakah, you don't always just hand over money. Sometimes you'll have to invest effort to find the person. Maybe you'll give somebody a piece of bread. You have to go and work to bake them a cake in order to give it to them. And the schar you get for tzedakah isn't just that you handed over a dollar bill, but you get the schar based on the amount of effort and the difficulty that it took you to get to that point of giving the tzedakah. So the fi chesed shava is based on the chesed, based on the tircha and the effort that you took in order to give that tzedakah. The Ben Yoyada says the fi chesed shava is based on the fact that not all aniyim are created equal. You can give $100 to one person who is kind of poor, and another person who is very poor. So the one person, $100, is a very big deal. Now they can make out if, and it's a significant burden lifted for them. For some people, it's a nice cushion for them. It helps them, and they're more comfortable, but they weren't as desperate for it. So not all tzedakahs have the same level of chesed that you're actually helping the person. So the tzedakah, the reward you get for your tzedakah is based on the chesed shaba, based on the amount that you actually helped this particular ani. And the Aruch HaNer says a beautiful idea, l'fi chesed sheba, is based on the smile you have when you give your tzedakah. And you should give your tzedakah, that's every panim yafos, and we're going to see the lashon of chesed is also lashon of chen, of having a charm when you do mitzvos, and so the tzchar for that you get for the mitzvah of tzedakah is not based on the amount on the dollar, but it's based on the face and the smile that you have when you give the ani, and you're not making him feel like he's a burden, but you're doing it b'simcha. That's l'fi chesed sheba, that's Aruch HaNer. Tana Rabbanan, Bishlosha Dvarim, Gedola, Gamilos, Chasadim, Yoser, Minatzdaka. In three ways, Chesed is greater than Tzedakah. Number one, Tzedakah Bemamono, Gamilos, Chasadim, Bein Begufo, Bein Bemamono. Number one, Tzedakah is only a money thing. Chesed, you can do with money. You can also do with your guf. You can go to Alavaya. You can go to Chasna. You can do chesed with your guf. Therefore, it's better than tzedakah because you have more ways, more avenues to fulfill the mitzvah. Number two, tzedakah la'aniyim, gemilas chasadim, bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. Tzedakah is only for poor people. You give them money because they don't have money. But chesed, you can do for anybody, whether they're poor, whether they're rich. There's a larger pool of people to do chesed with. Like you can do, go to Chasna. You give somebody simcha, even if they're not poor. So chesed can be done bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. And number three, tzedakah is l'chayim, kimulas chasadim, bein l'chayim, bein l'mesim. Tzedakah you can only give to somebody who's alive. You can't give tzedakah to somebody who died. But chesed you can do even to somebody who passed away. Right? That's a chesed shel emes. You can do a mitzvah of chesed even to those who died. You can help in the hotzah sameis. There are ways to do chesed even if the person has already passed away. So chesed is greater than tzedakah because you can do it bein begufo, bein b'mamono. You can do it bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. And you can do it bein l'chayim, bein lemeisin. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol ha'oseh tzedakah u'mishpat ki'ilu mile kol ha'olam kulo chesed. Somebody who does tzedakah and mishpat, that they give tzedakah, and so the Ben Yoyada says that mishpat means that you do mishpat with your own belongings. So for yourself, you don't go above and beyond. You treat yourself in a more modest way based on what you really, really need. And you have tzedakah and you're generous for other people. So if you have tzedakah for others and mishpat for yourself, ki ilu mile kol ha'olam kulo chesed, it's as if you filled the entire world with chesed. Shene'emar, ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, chesed Hashem malah ha'aretz. If you love tzedakah and mishpat, then you filled the world with chesed Hashem. Shema Tomar Kol HaBal Likpots Kofetz. Maybe that sounds amazing. Tzedakah is so great. So maybe everybody who jumps to give tzedakah should jump and they'll make sure, and they're definitely going to find the right person to give their money to. No, Talmud Omar, Ma Yikar Chastucha Elokim. Right, this chesed of Hashem to achieve this level of chesed is very yikar, it's very precious, it's also very difficult to achieve. And Rashi says, you give tzedakah to somebody, you know for sure that they are mehuganim. You don't know for sure that they're actually people who need the money. They could be they don't actually need the funds that they're asking for. So not everyone who jumps to the mitzvah of tzedakah is going to be zokeh to fill the world with chesed, because not everybody is going to be successful as much as they try. They may not be successful in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Yachol af yirei shamayim kein, maybe even yirei shamayim should be concerned that they're not going to be successful in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tamid lomar v'chesed Hashem may olam b'yad olam al yireyav, that Hashem's chesed is forever for the yireyav, for the yirei shamayim. So for those who are Yirei Shamayim, they can be confident that they're going to give tzedakah and it's going to go to the right people, and therefore they're going to be able to fulfill the world of chesed. Amar Rav Chama Bar Papa, Kol Adam Sheyesh Alav Chein, somebody who has Chein, they have a certain charm to them. Biyadua Shehu Yirei Shamayim, you can be sure that he is a Yirei Shamayim. Shene Amar, as the Pasuk says, V'chesed Hashem Me'olam V'yad Olam Al Yireyav, that Hashem's chesed, that the chesed is forever for somebody who is a Yirei Shamayim. So the Marsha wants to know who says anything about chesed over here. But our drasha was someone who has chain is definitely a Yirei Shamayim. How do you know? Because the pasuk says that somebody who has Yirei Shamayim has chesed. who said anything about chesed? We're talking about chen. How does this pasuk, which talks about chesed, have an implication about the chen that somebody has? So this is our, if we would have done this last week, it would have been an amazing Purim connection. This week, it is like an opposite. It's like the opposite of a coincidence that the week after Purim, the Marashah quotes a pasuk from Megillas Esther. And the pasuk says, "Vatisa chen v'chesed lifaneha," that Esther had chen and chesed in the eyes of Achashverosh. So chen and chesed are interchangeable. And so our pasuk, which says that the Yerei Shamayim have chesed, can also teach us that the Yerei Shamayim also have chen. That's what we learned from Megillas Esther. And let's finish up. The Amar of Yolazar, my dichsev. What does it mean when the pasuk says, piha pascha b'chachma v'toras chesed al lishona, that she opens her mouth with wisdom and she has toras chesed on her tongue. V'chi yesh torah shel chesed, v'yesh torah shel eina shel chesed. Is there some Torah that is chesed and some Torah that's not chesed? What's toras chesed referring to? Ella Torah lishma zohi Torah shel chesed shelo lishma zohi Torah she'ena shel chesed. So Torah that you learn lishma for the right reasons, for the right purpose, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a Torah shel chesed. Perhaps also like chen, that you bring chen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're doing the Torah, they're learning Torah in an appropriate way. And if you learn shelo lishma, that's Torah she'ena shel chesed. That would not be Torah chesed. And then Ikeda Amri Torah lo lamda zohi Torah shel chesed. If you learn Torah to teach others, that's Torah shel chesed. You're learning Torah, and if you're doing a chesed, you're going to share that Torah with other people. So you learn, and you share at the Shabbos table. That's a Torah shel chesed. Shelo lelamda, but if you learn, you're going to keep it to yourself. You're not going to share the fascinating halacha about throwing up your matzah with your family when you get home after this year. So the lo lelamda, zoi Torah she'ena shel chesed, that would not be a Torah shel chesed. So we'll stop here. We discussed the shisin, and then under the mizbeach, for the nisach hamayim, and then we discussed the big gulps that you should have when you drink your wine. And we ended off with a lot of agata about chesed and tzedakah, and chesed is greater than tzedakah, and learning Torah shel chesed, Torah lelamda.